drinking town with a football problem. Hey everybody, welcome to the Piffles Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
And I'm Steve.
I'm Ferlin.
We are without Amy today, but make sure you give her a follow at CFL Hottie Bowl on Twitter. Follow the rest of us at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at Real Alex D.
I am at Safamod.
And I'm Fernie635.
Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Go to our website, piffelspodcast.com, and like us on Instagram. Just search Piffles Pod. As always, Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out brynwerrett.com. That's BRINWERRETT.com. This week's show, well, luckily I didn't watch it. I was unable to. I was on vacation and my brother-in-law's are cord cutters. So I didn't get to see the Riders 30-15 loss in BC, but we are going to talk about that game here, dropping the record down to 2-4. We're going to talk about the rematch coming up this upcoming Sunday, August 13th, Riders and Lions, another massive game. Hopefully the Riders actually show up for this one. We'll do some engaging with the enemy. We hear from some BC Lion players that we talked to at CFL Week. We'll have a rant, our Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles player profile, and our Piffles picks. So let's get right down to the show here. There's still time to join us for the first ever Piffles Bowl in conjunction with Hope's Home. We're going to be having a few touch football games at Mosaic Stadium in Regina on August 18th from 6 to 8 p.m. Here's what's included. You're going to get a t-shirt, 2 hours on the field at Mosaic Stadium. We'll be doing draws for prizes, a discount at Great Canadian Brewhouse after the game. Space for this is limited, so make sure you get back to us ASAP on that. You can just give us a message on Twitter, Facebook. We have an event there. You can email us, pifflesbowl@gmail.com. Tickets for this are $50, but you also get a tax receipt if requested, and all proceeds go directly to Hope's Home here in Regina, so sign up quick, reserve your spot today.
And the big news that we announced late last week, we have a new co-host for the event. We're going to be joined by Riders wide receiver Bakari Grant, who's doing his own thing with Hope's Home, and is going to be joining us for the game next Friday, bring some of his teammates, sign some autographs, have some fun, support a good cause.
Well, and the great thing about when one Rider shows up, not just one Rider shows up. There'll be more. You can guarantee it.
Well, I know Dariush Bladek is also going to try and make it out. He's expressed an interest in that as well. So
it's during the Riders' bye week, so we don't know who's still going to be around in town, but you know once a couple players show up, more are going to show up, and it's just going to be a great time. And everything goes to charity. It goes to Hope's Home here in Regina, so can't go wrong with that. So let us know. Send us a message on Twitter. Any way you can get a hold of us, we'll have all the information for you. Go to piffelspodcast.com. It's up on the site as well.
And also, if you can't make it out to the event and want to donate to the cause itself, same thing. Get a hold of one of us. We'll get you a tax receipt for anything above $20. Just come out and have a good time.
No skill required. That's why we're hosting it. So if you think you suck at football, well, you're going to be playing with us. So it's not going to be so bad. You're going to be the stars of the show.
There's a reason we talk about football and we do not play it.
Exactly. So it's all in fun, and it's not going to be super competitive at all. It's just going to be fun, and let's just have a great time, raise some money, and we'll have some draws for prizes afterwards. So it'll be great. Well, let's get right down to it. The Riders losing in BC 30-15 this past Saturday. Like I said, lucky I didn't get to watch the game, but you guys unfortunately suffered through the entire thing. I'll start with the, you know, two questions that we lead off with. Who looked good?
It sucks to say. It's going to add some fuel to the fire, but obviously Brandon Bridge looked good in the last few minutes of the game. Yes, it was mop-up time, but, you know, what was he? Perfect completion percentage, 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards in minimal time. Good for him. But my shout-out actually goes to the offensive line. More the offensive line B. We had some movement on the old line. Dan Clark went out. Labatt moved to center. Diakowski switched sides. And front of the show, Dariush Bladek came in. From that point on, our offensive line actually looked pretty decent. We managed to stop a few stunts, which have been our weakness all year long. Why they don't run it every single play, because it seems to crush us every time. Who knows, but we seem to stop it in the later stages of the game, so that's where my shout-out goes.
The only one that I can mention that you haven't already that looked good is, and this kind of goes back to the Toronto game as well, I think we could probably cut one of Daron Carter's arms off and he'd still be a top wide receiver in the league. He's made 2 pretty amazing one-handed catches the last couple weeks, so
And the catch from last week came after a pretty disgusting hit. And you saw him get up after his touchdown. It was the very next play he scored. And you see him get up after the touchdown, getting right into the defender's face. And I've actually seen people, you know, riding Daron Carter for that, because it was 30-6 at that point.
You don't showboat when you're down 30-6. I don't care how nice your catch is.
I don't think it was so much about the catch itself. I think it was because it came so close after a hit that most people aren't getting up from. I don't know if you saw the hit itself, but it was a full helmet to the neck. It was a pretty dirty hit. And he was pretty heated after the hit. Next play, scores a touchdown. I'd say the majority of the league is going to be pretty heated at that moment. Throw in a guy like Daron Carter with his emotion. Did he let it get the best of him? Absolutely. But maybe that passion will move to this Sunday and we'll see a positive come out of it.
Okay, this is going to be kind of redundant, but who looked bad?
I'll let you lead the way on that one, Ferlin.
So in my notes here, I'm not sure anybody is a Nicolas Cage movie fan, but I just wrote EE. And if you remember in the movie Numbers, that means everybody else. And that's pretty much who looked bad, is everybody we haven't mentioned. It was awful.
The one thing that stands out the most to me, Chris Jones. And I hate to say it, but that goddamn three-man rush. You cannot give Travis Lule that much time.
You can't give any quarterback that much time.
But a guy with that much accuracy and that much skill is going to pick apart the best of defenses, and we are not that right now.
Here's the worst part. On top of that three-man rush, we were giving receivers like 5 yards to make plays and make catches. Like, we were just letting them have the ball.
I get it's tough to go up against a set of receivers like BC has. They've got Chris Williams. They've got Manny Arsenault, Brian Burnham, Nick Moore. Like, they've got a stacked receiving corps, and you need to give them a cushion. But you're right. It seemed like every play was either no rider defender within 5 yards or Brian Burnham making a stupid, ridiculous catch. That was all it was.
Even though I didn't watch it, I have somebody on my list for who looks bad, and only because Ferlin brought up the Numbers reference, Nicolas Cage. Face Off, what a terrible movie. I'm sorry, Nicolas Cage, not a fan.
You know who else got his face knocked off? It was Crezdon Butler when he ran into the goalpost.
I saw that highlight. I haven't watched the full game yet. I've watched bits and pieces, but yeah, I saw that, and a perfect pick play by, I think that was Burnham, right?
Yeah.
Was it Burnham? Yeah. And used the field to his advantage. It's the same as pulling on somebody's hair. It's part of the jersey. That's part of the field. So it was...
You got to know where you are on the field. And he didn't even turn around. And you feel bad because that's got to hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we've seen it in some of those blindfold things going on at different games where fans run into whatever at full speed.
Fun fact. So the one everybody references, the Toronto game where the Toronto lady is running for a prize and she's running the whole width of the field, and was on SportsCenter the other day, and she hits the advertising on the side and falls down. So everybody references that. Everybody kind of knows what I'm talking about. It was at a Riders game. I was there. It was awesome. That happened again in Edmonton this past Friday night at the Edmonton-Hamilton game. I was at that game. And so it was in the end zone where we had our seats, and some fan, she was blindfolded, had to run towards somebody holding a sign, and it was basically a straight line, but she went just a couple yards off and just kept going and going, and everyone's booing her right now because you're supposed to cheer when she's close, boo when she's far away, you know, hot and cold kind of thing. And she went bang right over the advertisement, right onto the track at Commonwealth Stadium there. And good for the PA announcer. He's like, you know what, just because you did that, like, she only had 30 seconds to do it, they gave her the prize anyway, which but it was hilarious. I was like, yes, that happened again while I was there. So apparently I'm good luck.
Was this before or after Vidal Hazelton did the same thing?
That was before. Yeah, he did that later in the game.
So he was watching the halftime show going, I could do better.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what I'm learning from this is if there's ever a blindfolded fan interaction thing at halftime and you're there,
they're gonna
don't sign up for it.
Yeah, and it's going to happen right in front of me because it's happened both times.
That's fantastic. But if I have to say that play was just a perfect example of the 2017 season so far. We were kind of holding them up till that point. They weren't scoring. We were holding them to the field goals. The game was still tight, and then we just...
Well, and let's be honest, that score, 30-15, that flattered the Riders.
Oh, did it ever.
Because, I mean, really, until the final 4 minutes, it was a 30-0 game. And even then, 30-0 really flattered the Riders because that game was not that close. That should have been 50-0.
No, I think it was Ferlin that said in our conversation during the game that it seemed like there was a force field at midfield. We just couldn't get past it. And anytime we did, something bad happened.
Kevin Glenn took a sack. I was following along on the CFL.ca box score thing, or live tracker that they have. And, oh good, we're at the 37-yard line. At least we're in field goal range. Positives, right? Kevin Glenn sacked. Out of field goal range. Got to punt it. Oh, great. That's awesome. This game's over. And that's how I followed along. And I was like, ugh.
It just felt like one of those games. And I'm not usually one to give up hope early in a game, but at 6-0, it just felt like the team wasn't there. They weren't at their best. And to beat a team like Calgary, Edmonton, or BC, you have to play at your best, and we weren't even close.
All right, now the third burning question from this game, and everybody's talking about it because it always happens at Rotterville when a quarterback doesn't have a good game and the backup comes in and does have a good showing. Is there a quarterback controversy between Kevin Glenn and Brandon Bridge?
No.
And should there be?
No. Absolutely not.
Well, should there be? Yes. Because I think we can all agree this team is playing for the future. We're not a Grey Cup team right now. We are building. We are in the rebuild process. And why we've been running this rebuild with a 38-year-old quarterback is beyond me. So should there be a quarterback controversy? Yes. Will there be based on what happened on Saturday night? Of course not. That's garbage time touchdowns. We saw the same thing from Bridge last year. We know he's got the skill to play. Would we like to see him? I certainly would. I think it'd be a smart move to get Bridge in, especially with somebody like Kevin Glenn to mentor him. And it seems like they've got a pretty good working relationship. But should it be based on that last 3 minutes? No.
Realistically, looking at the standings, we're really not that far out of a playoff spot. There's 9 teams and 6 of them make the playoffs, so you're never really that far out of a playoff spot. So I think we maybe give Glenn a little bit shorter leash. But at this point, Glenn is the starter.
Yeah, right now, we're 2 games out. We still hold our own destiny in our hands, even at 2-4.
2 games and a tiebreak.
Yeah, but we've got 2 games coming up against Winnipeg.
That's coming up a little bit later in the show here. You'll hear a little bit about that. I think there should be a controversy because realistically looking at it, this team's not going to make the playoffs because you have to get ahead of one of the teams in the West. And right now, they're not going to do that. They're not playing well enough. They're not consistent enough to do that. So I know you can't give up hope at 2-4. Like, that's not a terrible record. It's not a good record. But there still is that chance to get hot, win Labor Day and Banjo Bowl. You're right back in the playoff race. So there shouldn't, in theory, be a quarterback controversy. But I think there should be. Brandon Bridge has played well every single time he's been stepped on the field as a Rider. And that's a fact.
Second preseason game.
Yeah. Preseason doesn't count.
That's fair.
But when he comes in, he looks good. And you can see that the potential that's there. I'm getting sick of potential, and again, you'll hear more about that later. But it's time to make a young guy our future. I know Kevin Glenn is a good insurance policy. I don't mind having him as a backup. But right now, I really think Brandon Bridge or Marquise Williams should be the starter. I'm not going to say Marquise Williams should be the starter, but Brandon Bridge should be over him, obviously. But that should be our guy, and that should be who the team rallies around.
When last time we made a young quarterback our future, and we keep going back to Chris Jones's comment about moderately successful, but it worked well. You know, we made 3 Grey Cups, won one with that young guy. We're not going to get there with Kevin Glenn. It's just, I don't want to say not. Anything is possible. And Kevin Glenn is a great quarterback, but he is not our future. And we are not playing for today. So you are absolutely right.
No, that kind of leads me into this with that, because it would have been 2008. Darian Durant wasn't the full-time starter yet. They switched between him and Stephen Giles, which was a joke because I hated that. But looking at it, because those 2 young guys, and they really wanted to see who was going to be the future of the team, like who was going to lead after Marcus Crandall got hurt. Is that something you think about now, doing with Kevin Glenn and Brandon Bridge? Let Glenn sit out a series? Not a full quarter like they had with, because that's just ridiculous. You don't get into any rhythm by playing 2 series and 2 and outs and that's it. But giving Bridge a series here or there, give him 2 or 3 a game?
Well, what was it during the Montreal game when they put him in, Glenn marched down the field and then threw Bridge in? They said after the game that Bridge has a whole package designed around him. Why aren't we doing that for a whole series then?
You can't do that that late into a series or into a drive.
Yeah,
that was stupid.
Into a drive, that was stupid. For one play, that was dumb. But I like that. If you have plays designed specifically for him and packages for him, why not showcase that?
Yeah, I assume they have more than two plays for a package. Like, that's a sample, not a...
Although, throwing it up to Daron Carter in the end zone seems like a pretty good idea right now, since that seems to be his thing.
And the difference between Kevin Glenn and Brandon Bridge right now is it seems Bridge actually has a deep ball that's relatively accurate. When you've got the receivers we've got, why not take advantage of it? There's no reason not to. I say give him a quarter. Give him some actual time, because you said it best. You're not going to get any kind of momentum going a series or two. Give him some time on the field to showcase what he's got, and who knows, it might actually lead us to victory. He's shown every time on the field that he can be that guy.
It might take a couple more losses, but that might be the future starting in September, I think. Because if we lose to BC here and then go into Edmonton, I'm not confident about this team going on the road and winning against a perfect team. I have zero confidence in them winning that game in Edmonton. There's no reason why they should win that game.
Why would we? What if we won three games?
Yeah, I got that written down a little bit later on. You'll hear. I'll just let you.
Basically, the whole rest of the show is later on.
But I think there should be, because this is something that this team realistically needs to look at right now. We can't wait till the final two games of the season to throw in
backups.
No, because that's a complete waste, because if we're out of the playoffs by then anyway, you're going to throw in a backup quarterback who might be the future with a bunch of backup receivers and running backs. That gets him nothing. Get him in there with the starters when games mean something. And that's going to be pretty soon here.
Yeah, if we don't pull out a win in the next 2 weeks, we're already at the stage for rider math.
Remember how ugly 2015 was when we were 0-9? Six or seven of those games were winnable, and they were all like within 5 points. If we get to that kind of, if we don't win another game by Labor Day and we're 2-6 by then, it's going to be that ugly because people are fed up of losing.
Well, look at our standings over the last few years, wouldn't you be?
Yes. Yes, I am, actually.
More on that later.
But we'll move along here. That's enough about that game. It sucked. That game sucked. And it seems like all the road games, save for the first game in Montreal, I guess all the road games have been Calgary and BC other than that. But they just don't show up to play. They don't know how to show up with any emotion and energy on the road, and they get beat up. Their defense, I'll give them a little bit of credit, where their defense has held to field goals and where the score really, really flatters them, because 27-10 in Calgary, that was a 40-10 game. This game here against BC, that was a 50-0 game, not a 30-0 game with 4 minutes left. Like, the game was not close.
The big test for the Riders right now is going to be, can they bounce back from yet another embarrassing
and I think they will loss? Because they seem to play well here at home at Mosaic Stadium. They have a 2-1 record there. Could be 2-0-1, 3-0, depending on who you ask. But it's the road. Unless you're going to win every single game at home, you can't afford to lose every game on the road.
Nope.
And then you're looking at a crossover spot at best.
Crossover sounds pretty good this year.
Anything else you guys got for the debacle in British Columbia?
No, I already want to move on to next week. That game sucked, but it's in the past.
All right, well, we'll preview that match, the rematch against the Lions, a little bit later in the show. But right now, let's get to our Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile. I really want to know. Tell me who are you. So this week on the Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile, Steve and Greg had a chance to talk with starting running back Cameron Marshall.
On this week's Coney Island Piffles Player Profile, we've got running back Cameron Marshall. Cameron, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Now, right off the bat, you had your pick of teams when you came back to the CFL. Why Saskatchewan?
I thought it was the best opportunity first for me to come in and compete. You know, that for a job first. That was first and foremost. And second, I just really liked the culture that they had here. You know, Coach Jones was coming off. I saw Coach Jones had some success in other places as well. So I was just really excited to get back up here, play in front of a great fan base as well.
How important is the run game to this offense? It seems the last couple of games with Hamilton, Toronto, they've gotten you more involved. Talk about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think the run game is important. I know it's a pass-heavy league, but I think, you know, establishing something on the run to give the defense, you know, some other things to worry about is important.
Now, one of the things that kind of entertains our listeners is why people choose football. What was it for you that made you choose football as a career?
I just loved it ever since I was a kid. I played basketball. Basketball was my first sport, and cause my pops played basketball, and so it was my first sport. And as soon as I put a football in my hand, put these pads on, it was just something I love. Like, I love being physical in basketball, but I always get called for fouls. So yeah, as soon as I got to play football, and they said, you know, you can hit people, so I was like, oh, cool, I'm down.
Most fans know you as the running back of the Riders. Who is Cameron Marshall off the field? When you're not preparing for games, what do you like to do?
Well, first and foremost, I'm a husband, so I try to, you know, I hang out with my wife a lot. Obviously, we spend time with newlyweds, so we like to do a lot of things together. But I mean, other than that, if I'm not on the field and I'm not doing what she tells me to do, then I'm probably you can probably catch me at the movie theater trying to find something new to watch.
So, what's your number one movie right now?
Number one, I saw Girls Trip. My wife brought me to that one. That was pretty funny though. What else did I see recently? I saw Wonder Woman was good. I saw Planet of the Apes was really good too. So I want to get there this weekend and see Dark Tower, and something came out last week too. And I want to see Detroit too. I don't know if that's playing out here, but we'll see.
Fair enough. And does Cameron Marshall have any hidden talents that people might not know about him?
Hidden talents. I can juggle a little bit. Other than that, I don't really know. I'm sure some things might pop up later if I thought about it.
What's the strangest thing you've ever juggled?
Nothing strange. Nothing strange, nothing dangerous. I keep it pretty simple.
Back to football for a bit. Who's the hardest hitter in the CFL, in your opinion?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I've been hit hard a couple of times, so it just kind of depends on the play.
Now, you've been involved in the Labor Day Classic before as a member of the Bombers. How's it going to be different?
I don't know if you should say that. I don't want to get two people mad at me.
How's it going to be different being on the other side of the field, especially at this building?
I mean, I'm a rough rider, you know what I mean? It's not going to be different at the time. I didn't know anything else, you know? So it'll be, I guess, I'll know what the other side feels like, but I mean, it's not any different for me. I mean, I know a couple guys on the team, but it's still, you know, we played Winnipeg a couple of times between the preseason and, you know, first regular season game here. So, I mean, it'll be fun. I'm sure it'll be a lot more fun to have the best fans in the CFL, you know, cheering for me instead of booing me. So that'll be fun.
Two-part question. One of the perks in the CFL is traveling.
Yeah.
What CFL city has the best food? And if you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
Oh, let's see. Best food. I might have to say, I had some good food in Montreal. Montreal was pretty good. Montreal and Toronto, I had some good food in Toronto last year when I went, or the other year when I went before. So I'd probably say those two places. BC has some good food too. I'm not a big sushi eater, so I know a lot of people brag about the sushi. I'm not big into sushi, so I'll probably skip that.
Yeah.
And what was the other question?
Where would you travel and why?
Where would I travel? Probably someplace tropical so I could relax and relax, drink some pina coladas and enjoy myself.
Now, the one question that everyone keeps asking, cats or dogs?
See, I'm a dog person, but, you know, my wife has a cat, so I guess I have a cat, so that's how it goes.
As soon as you're married, you're a cat person
now, all the way.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
There was Cameron Marshall on the Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile. And Steve, you had a chance to talk to him. He seemed like a pretty good guy.
You know, he's a really nice guy, really laid back. Great fun to talk to.
Yeah, sounded like a great interview.
Now, coming up next, we take a look at the Riders' next home game this upcoming Sunday against the BC Lions here at Mosaic Stadium. Got Engaging with the Enemy and, in my opinion, a hell of a rant. Stay tuned.
Piffle's podcast is supported in part by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. A longtime volunteer with your Regina Thunder, Bryn is a proud supporter of local football. Check out BrynWerrett.com, that's BrynWerrett.com, while you enjoy the rest of this episode of the Piffles Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
So I'm going to take the rant this week, and this has been something that's been brewing in me for a little while here. I'm getting really sick and tired of this roller coaster of a team that we get every single week. I'm tired of trying to defend this team when they give us crap performance after crap performance against West Division teams, especially on the road. I want consistency. I want to be excited. I'm sick of hearing about all this promise that this team has, and I'm guilty of trying to sell that because they do have legit talent on the team. I was all for blowing up this team after the joke of a 2015 season, and I'm still glad that we did that. We had overpaid players who contributed nothing to the win column. Literally, they had nothing in the win column until Labor Day. Granted, many of those games were close and winnable, but close doesn't cut it. The only thing that matters is wins. So let's skip forward again to this year. 2-4. Probably should be 4-2 or 3-2-1 at worst, looking at a playoff spot as a real possibility. But here we sit, 4 points and a tiebreaker out of a playoff spot with 4 straight games against Western Division opponents. The Riders need to win 3 of those 4 to legitimately think that playoffs are a consideration this year. And 2 of those 3 wins need to be Labor Day and Banjo Bowl against Winnipeg, the team we are chasing for a crossover spot. Thanks to the 43-40 overtime loss in the Mosaic Stadium opener, if the Riders don't sweep the Bombers in the annual Labor Day Banjo Bowl games, they won't have the tiebreak and will then need to finish the season with more points than the Bombers do to make the playoffs. Now, judging on their 3-30-1 record against the West Division since Banjo Bowl 2014, preseason and postseason included, I'm not confident in their chances of winning one of them, let alone a sweep. Now let me break that down to you. This team, since Darian Durant went down in that Banjo Bowl of 2014, in the regular season, 12-39. Preseason, 0-5-1. Postseason, 0-1. That's a total of 12-45-1. They've won 12 of their last 58 games. Now I know preseason doesn't really matter, but it does matter. It gives confidence to the team and to the fans. They can't even beat backups. That's how bad this team is. And that includes a season with Durant as quarterback. So before I go any further, those saying that we can't win without Durant, well, we couldn't win with him last year, so there you go. But how did we get here? Let's go back to Sunday, November 11th, 2012. Western semifinal, Riders at Calgary. We all know that the Riders took a lead late with a Greg Carr touchdown catch and subsequently blew that, let Calgary come back and win 36-30 and go on to beat the Kevin Glenn-led BC Lions and get to the Grey Cup. Thankfully, Toronto won the Grey Cup that year. But no doubt in my mind, if we hold on and beat Calgary that game, we go win, we beat BC, and then we beat Toronto. But I digress. But that game showed that this team was ready to win now in 2013. After a disastrous 5-13 2011 season, we were right there a year later. General manager Brendan Tamman went spending in 2013 to ensure that the Riders won the Grey Cup at home that year, and that's exactly what happened. He backloaded contracts to sign the best possible team. Ricky Foley, John Chick, Weston Dressler, G. Roy Simon, all were given big deals that put us over the top to win the biggest game in team history. And looking back at it, I'm glad he did it, even knowing that it would cost us down the road. Before then, the Riders had 3 championships in just over 100 years. 3. It was worth it to win it at home. Banjo Bowl 2014. Riders survived to get to 8-2. Everything is great in Riderville, well on our way to another playoff appearance and maybe another Grey Cup game. Durant gets hurt. Tears up his elbow. The team goes 2-6 the rest of the way and lose to Edmonton in the West semifinal in a game where Kerry Joseph was the quarterback and threw 5 picks. This is okay. Durant will be back next year and we'll be fine. 2015 season opener. A lot of hope. Durant tears his Achilles and is out for the season. Well, it's not so bad. We have Kevin Glenn. Riders start 0-9. Head coach Corey Chamberlain is fired. Rider Nation is pissed. 2015 is now a lost cause. It'll be fine. It's like 2011. One bad year, we'll be good next year. 2016 season starts. Chris Jones is signed away from Edmonton a few days after winning the Grey Cup with the Eskimos in 2015. John Murphy, assistant GM of Calgary, is lured here as well. This is it. Our saviors are here. We have Durant healthy and a new regime that is used to winning. Weston Dressler, cut. John Chick, cut. Whoa, this is not okay. These guys are our franchise. Well, we still have Durant and can spend that money elsewhere. We'll be fine. We need to upgrade our D-line, our O-line, and we'll be fine. 100 plus players and about 20 fines handed out to Chris Jones and the Riders. Well, more like 3, but all he does is get fined, and we limp our way to a 5-13 season. 2017, Darian Durant is traded to Montreal. Rider Nation loses their collective minds. This is not okay. Chris Jones is ruining our team. Well, it's not so bad. We'll go younger at quarterback and start the official rebuild and look at the promising future. Kevin Glenn and Vince Young are signed to be our quarterbacks. What the hell is going on? Thankfully, Vince Young gets hurt, not for his sake, I don't wish injuries upon anybody, but for the team, thankfully he gets hurt. Brandon Bridge plays lights out in both preseason games, okay, we're in decent hands. We see the promise of this team and we should be good. Jump ahead to the present. We are not good. 2-4. And already 2 full games out of the playoffs. That's not good. Where is the consistency and promise of a good competitive team we have been promised the last few years? Well, at least this time we have a head coach who rated himself as not very effing good, so accountability is there. So what's missing? A defensive coordinator? A good offensive coordinator? A consistent O-line? A D-line that gets pressure without blitzing? A remotely mediocre secondary? That's what's missing. It's hard to get excited over this team when none of the glaring weaknesses of this team seem to be addressed. And that starts from the very top. I'm talking about President Craig Reynolds. Mr. Reynolds seems like a really great guy, and I think he's the right guy for that position right now. But he doesn't want to meddle into the football operations of the team, which is fine. But he has to now. GM, head coach, VP of football ops, defensive coordinator, whatever else he's doing, Chris Jones, clearly has too much on his plate. Some of that needs to be delegated, and he needs to be told that by Craig Reynolds. It's almost as if the team doesn't care about creating a winning culture as long as we spend our money at this fancy new stadium and we keep buying anything green that they put an S on. I'm guilty of buying merch. I don't do it as much as I used to, but I'm a sheep like the rest of the fans. As long as we spend our money on the team, they have no need to get better. But now I find it much harder to buy a $10 beer, a $22 hot dog, and thousands of dollars on tickets when I can tell you right now this team won't win against a West Division team. Do I still want them to win? Of course I do. I just have lost complete faith in this team to do it. I don't expect them to win anymore. I've accepted that they are a poor team, and I'm okay with that. They just won't get much out of me. I won't buy more merch. I won't spend money in their stadium. I won't waste my voice screaming at games because it's all for naught. This must be what it was like to be a fan in the late 1990s. A bad team, management that didn't seem to care, and no end in sight. I kind of wanted to compare this team to the early 2000s when Roy Shivers and Danny Barrett took over, but they at least showed improvement. But the difference is that this team here in 2017 actually has a lot of talent. That's the frustrating part. They should be winning games. They shouldn't be down 30-0 to BC and show zero effort for 56 minutes. The pride is gone. Being a Rider fan is no longer cool as it was from 2003 to 2014. We are back to being the losers of the league that everyone makes fun of, and it sucks. I hate it. I'm sick of it. All I want is wins. I don't care how. I don't care who. I just want wins. And until they consistently start getting some wins, I'll continue not spending my money on them. I'll continue going to games, but I'll be quieter than I should be. One win won't change this. They need to beat good teams, West Division teams. They need to show that they want to win, and we don't see that every week. I can deal with losses if they try. The last two losses in Calgary and BC, there was no energy, there was no try, there was nothing. They're giving me nothing, so I'm returning the favor. So I challenge you, Saskatchewan Roughriders, make me proud again. Make it cool for me to be a fan again. Do whatever it takes, change things up, keep the same, whatever. Just get wins, because this is painful and it pisses me off. That's 4 pages of notes.
You know what the best part about that rant? Sometimes our rants come across a little bit manufactured because we're expected to. That's one of our episodes every week. But you could tell every moment of that last however many minutes that was filled with legit rage. And you have every right, and all of us do, of being upset with where this team is right now. And I hate that phrase, we're a better team than our record. We're not. We're 2-4.
Ottawa's not better than 1-5-1.
Nope.
They're a bad team.
Right? Like, could we be 4-2, 3-2-1 right now? Absolutely. There were chances to win those games. But it comes right down to it. Just like we've been doing for the last few years, we found a way to lose.
Good teams don't find ways to lose. They find ways to win.
And it's, I hate to call Winnipeg a good team right now, but look at their last two games.
They found ways to win.
I mean, they came back from, what was the
12 points in
40, in under a minute.
In under a minute against Montreal.
And as a Rider fan right now, I feel like the opposite will happen. Like, we're going to be on the other end of that. And you're right. It sucks. I'm still the epitome of Homer. I pick them almost every week in Pick'em. And I can't help it. I have that eternal hope, and it might be because I sat through those 90s teams and I saw the end of it, and I'm hoping that that's where we're at. But I'm getting close to where you are.
It just bugs me that management doesn't seem to care.
Well, and we sit here, we see problems, we point them out. Obviously, I don't expect Craig Reynolds and Chris Jones to be listening to our show. But it's not like we're the only ones making these comments. Everyone else is seeing things like the three-man rush is
garbage,
an absolute failure on the field 9 times out of 10. we're seeing that there's too much on Chris Jones's plate. If we're seeing it, the guys making these decisions should be able to see it and should be able to act on it.
And that's why I mentioned Craig Reynolds needs to step in. I like the idea of a president not wanting to step in on football operations. Let the guys do their job, and I'm fine with that. But when they can't do their job, that's when you have to step in. And right now, that's what's happening.
And no matter how promising the team looks, we have won 7 games in the last year and a quarter. We've won 12 games in the last, what, almost 58. 3 years?
Yep.
They need to step in and do something, because we're some of those ardent fans that have been through some of the worst. We're the ones that are going to be sitting there every week, win or lose. And if we're starting to get to that stage of
frustration,
imagine the fans that are coming to their first game going, why would I come back? Or the fans that just were there because it was cool. Fans, they're not coming back.
Traveling fans, they don't travel as much anymore as they used to.
Would you drive 4 hours to see what we've been seeing?
No, of course not. And when you add that up, let's say a family of 4 want to take our trip out to BC. You're going to waste probably about $1,000 on this game between hotel, flights, tickets, at least, plus, you know, eating out for supper and all that stuff. Say you buy your kid a new jersey, you're looking at easily a couple grand for what? A team that doesn't care for 56 minutes.
And it really sucks, because we all know that the team wants to win. We know that, and that's their goal, is to win. At least we hope so. But we need to start seeing it.
And that's the thing, is we need to see it. And not just one game. They need to string together something like they did last year when they finally started winning games, when they won 4 straight games. They showed that promise, and that's okay. That's what we're building on for 2017, and we haven't seen that.
Now, here's the
question.
They're
close. They're not far away.
Here's the question to you. Let's say Kropinia makes the field goal to start the season. Are we still having this discussion?
At 3-3? Probably not.
I'm not so sure, because who are those 3 losses against?
Well, those are all against Western teams.
I think we're right in the position we are. We can't finish the season. We're not going anywhere beating the Eastern Division. Everybody knows they're the redheaded stepchild of the CFL right now.
Yeah, you sweep the East, you get 8-10. That's an outside shot at the playoffs.
Well, we're already one back.
But that's the thing, is we're already one behind that. And these are teams that we should be beating.
I grew up on Ryder math, and I hate that phrase. It bugs me to no end.
You're going to see a lot of it.
But that's where we're at. We're already 6 games into the year, and we're looking at where we have to win to make the playoffs. Not to win a Grey Cup, to make the playoffs.
And this is what scares me. We got BC again, Edmonton. If we're lucky, we split that. And that's if we show up and beat BC this week. Back-to-back against Winnipeg. Now that Winnipeg actually won a Labor Day last year, it's not...
not the bingo space anymore.
Yeah, it's not an automatic anymore. In Hamilton, okay, we should win that one based on how Hamilton's playing. They could turn it around, but... then we got Calgary, Ottawa, who, and I don't agree with it, but they are better than the record shows. They are a 1-5-1 team right now, but they could easily be 4-1-1.
Their 1-5-1 is better than our 2-4. Not in the standings, but as a team.
Also in the standings, because they're in the East. But
yeah.
No, they're 2 games. Oh, no, they're only 3 points out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, they only have to tie Winnipeg. We have to get ahead of Winnipeg right now with a tiebreaker.
Move to one division. That's a whole nother rant. Maybe that's me for next week.
And then Toronto, Ottawa, Calgary, Montreal, Edmonton. Like, that's not a cakewalk of a schedule.
No, but if we can come out of Labor Day 4-5, we've got a pretty friendly schedule post Labor Day. We're playing a lot of Eastern games. We've got Ottawa, Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, Hamilton. So we've got a lot of our Eastern games to close out the season. But we need to show that we need to get through it. If we come out of Labor Day at 2-7, we're done. The
season's over.
Like, we're not catching. We're going to be 4 games back of Winnipeg, minimum.
And that's what brings me back to Brandon Bridge should be the starting quarterback by then. If that's what our record is, getting out of those games, Brandon Bridge needs to be the starter after Labor Day. Regardless if they're 1-point losses, I don't care. You're not winning right now, and that needs to change. Yep. The culture is gone.
Got to rebuild it.
And that's all we've been hearing the past couple of years. We're rebuilding the team. We're rebuilding the culture. Well, it doesn't take 3 years in the CFL to rebuild a team. This isn't the NFL, where it does take time and you have to get your franchise player to start that. This is the CFL with this much movement and free agency and everything. There's no way it should take that long. No way. Ottawa went from 2-16 and made the Grey Cup the next year and then won the next year. Granted, that expansion team was a gift, better than what the Riders were left back in 2015 with that joke of a team, but still, they did it. They won a championship in 3 years.
We need to
see it. Got to it in the second season, and that was after the first season was 2-16.
You're not wrong. We need to see the wins. They have to start.
Well, hopefully the first win that gets it rolling is this week's game against BC. Now, the good news is rematches traditionally get split in the CFL, so we're desperately hoping for that. So talking about this upcoming game, what are your guys' keys to the Riders getting back on the winning track?
I'd start with blitzing, getting actual pressure, period.
This is a recording.
Right? How many weeks now and we're still calling for some form of pressure?
I would say biggest key to this game is to come out looking like you want to play. We can't come out soft and weak and pathetic like we did last week.
We've come out with 10-digit deficits in every game in the last few weeks.
And they can't do that against, like, they did that against Toronto and they got lucky there, but they can't do that against BC. BC is a better team than Toronto.
No, you want to win it. You want to win on Sunday. You need to get the crowd into it early. Come out firing, put points on the board, and let the crowd get into it.
Yeah.
If we fall down two scores, it's going to be especially
a Sunday night game when the atmosphere is not going to be, you know, all our home games so far have been Saturday nights. Like, Sunday evening game, people aren't going to, they're going to tune out pretty quick because they got to go to work the next morning. Will they show fight this week?
Yes.
Absolutely. I think they will, or people are losing jobs.
I'll agree with that. Can Chris Jones win a coaching battle against Wally Buono? We've seen so far this year, it's not so much that Chris Jones gets outcoached by other coaches. He gets outcoached by himself.
I'm going to say yes to that. He's won coaching battles before coming here anyways. I don't see why he can't figure it out and do it again.
The fight in this one has left me. I say no.
I'm not sure he can.
We need to see it. And we're not. Does that mean we can't win the game? No. But I think if it comes down to a coaching battle, I think it does mean BC walks out of Mosaic with a win.
I'm hoping the only thing Wally Buono wins is a Fitbit challenge. I mean, a stupid Fitbit.
What's your problem with Fitbits?
Sheep. People are sheep.
You have an Apple Watch.
No, I don't. I have a Pebble.
And a Ryder hat.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Homer. And finally with this game, will you guys get any water? Because it's going to be hot enough.
Oh, yes. I'm gonna get water. I'm going to get a 2-4 of water from Superstore, Walmart, or somewhere, and sell it for $2 a bottle.
It's not a bad idea, actually.
What a joke this has actually become. So,
do you want to just start the rant music again?
Yeah, I probably...
I feel like we're going on. We're going to go off again.
All right, well, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
The last game against Toronto, it was 30 degrees out, and I saw a graphic. On the field, it was up to, like, what was it, 51 degrees.
On the sunny side.
On the field. And I sit on the sunny side in that stadium, and that was, I think we had, the sun was blocked by the one part of the roof for the first 2 minutes of the game. Other than that, it was blinding sun the entire game. It was hot. We also brought 10 bottles of water with us. Evidently, people don't know that you can't, or that you can bring in water. Nobody brought in water, so there was pictures of, you know, a line of almost 100 people standing in line to get water out of a water fountain. Guess what? They sell water. They have water fountains everywhere. They're in the bathrooms. Go to the sink in the bathroom. Let it run cold for 10 seconds. Put your bottle under there.
I will say the security screwed up. There was one gate that people who brought in more than one water bottle were forced to dump them and then, you know, take them inside empty and refill them at the water fountain. So that probably caused a lot of issues. But I 100% agree. This is a stupid complaint. The old stadium had zero water fountains, and if you went to a sink, you were more likely to get urine than actual clean water. They do provide water. They didn't say when they were building the stadium that there were going to be 100 water fountains.
I hate that we're a week behind on this whole Watergate scandal, like they've been calling it, because, you know, everybody's had their say on this whole topic. But if you're that hot that you need water, whip out $5, buy a bottle, go to the sink. If your life is in jeopardy enough that you desperately need water right now, there were options.
Why are you still sitting out in the sun? If you're going to get heat stroke, why are you still in the sun?
And
these are adults too. Like, you have to, where, and this brings me to a thing about all of Saskatchewan in general, just the culture of Saskatchewan. We hate change. That's the way it is, or that's the way it was. That's the way it's always going to be. And that's just what it's like here. But we always are quick to blame somebody else for our problems. And that's what Saskatchewan has always done. Why not take some responsibility? You're going to an entertainment event. You don't go to the movie theaters and expect them to give you free pop. Why would you expect that at a football game? It's, you know, no different.
I actually had my own issue. I was at a beach volleyball tournament the day after, and I understand how much the heat can affect you. I actually got heat exhaustion and conked out for a second. I know it can hit you quick, but you know what? You know whose fault that was? Mine. Because I didn't drink water throughout the event. There were options, and for me, it wasn't right next door. I had to run across the street to grab water. There were so many options at this game.
My favorite is people that were standing in line for 45 minutes waiting for a water fountain to open up. Well, we missed a whole bunch of the game. Well, whose fault is that? You could have gone to any of the, 40 concession stands that sell water there and grabbed a $5 water. Yeah, they're ripping you off with a $5 water, but that's business. That's supply and demand. That's economics 101.
They did that at Taylor Field too.
Absolutely.
So the only difference is now you have the option to wait in line for 45 minutes or buy that same exact bottle of water that you did before.
Yeah, the people complain about this are just...
Or you can use the untainted, so far, sinks at the new stadium.
I'd at least trust these sinks because there's enough toilets and urinals and everything in the bathrooms where hopefully we don't see any of those issues again.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could ever drink out of a sink at a stadium ever again. Thanks, Taylor Field.
I was looking at this a little bit earlier, and Green Bay, they don't have any water fountains because it gets so damn cold there in the winter that it freezes the lines. I wonder if that was a thought in the stadium as well, because we are so cold here that we have, the stadium is going to be used, six times tops when it's going to be 30 degrees out? Like, it's for major events?
I'm trying to remember, did Taylor Field have water fountains?
No, they didn't.
I didn't think we did.
No.
Why is this suddenly an issue?
Philadelphia's new stadium that they did a couple of years ago, they have two. And they have 70,000 seats there.
Guess what, people? The riders in the city want to make money. Why are they going to have water fountains where you can drink for free when they're selling bottles of water?
Do you think they're going to give you free coffee and tea when it's cold outside? Of course not. They're going to charge you $5 for a warm chocolate.
But I'll be cold.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is you're putting the blame on somebody else. And that's exactly what's happening here.
Look at the other recent example of a new stadium in the CFL, IGF. They only have 4 water fountains. Why are we going to put in more than them, other than to say that we did it better, even though obviously we already have?
Suck it, Winnipeg.
And it's to the point where I think the CFL should adopt the NFL policy, where you can literally not bring anything into a game unless it fits into like one of those freezer Ziploc bags. And it must be clear so they can see exactly what's in there. No empty containers, no open containers, nothing. No food, no drink, which sucks because we bring in water and cookies, but I would also just buy it there if I had to, or I'd drink a lot of it before. But just make it so you can't bring anything into the games, because that's what happens in literally every other stadium.
Could you imagine the bitching and complaining? Oh, it'd be great.
Get your popcorn out. That would be fun.
Somebody find Terrell Owens.
I'm thinking of the term Saskatchewan tough, and I'm not meaning that by, you know, we're from Saskatchewan, we should be able to sit in plus 51 for 4 hours and not feel it. But I mean, at Taylor Field, we were so spoiled. Like, people were bringing in cheese and cracker, like giant buckets of them.
Bless those people.
Oh, I love those people, but they can't let that into a new stadium and expect to make money on their concessions.
No, that stadium is a business first.
Yep. That's all it is.
Your other option.
It's not a convenience for you.
Your other option is you're allowed to bring everything you want and enjoy your tax dollars going through the roof even more, because how else are they going to pay that $278 million building?
I want to know how people didn't realize that it was hot out before that game started. It was 35 degrees that entire week.
July.
Yeah.
We had 0.2 millimeters of rain in July.
Yeah.
It was hot.
It takes nothing to figure out that, oh man, it was hot.
You might
literally, that's it. That's
you
it.
Might need some water.
Yeah. And it's adults that can't get this through their little heads, and that baffles my mind.
And the fact that we're 2 weeks later and we're still seeing things coming up.
We're seeing lawsuits. Potential lawsuits.
No.
This is stupid.
Yeah, as much as this thing is in the past, it's not going away. It's here. It's not going to go anywhere. Like, the lawsuit, I don't think, will go anywhere.
Absolutely not. It's pointless.
Oh, man. I could rant on that all night. Just the stupid.
And originally, that was going to be my rant today. It was about water. Maybe I should have just left it at water, because that was enough.
Episode 50, Ranty Goodness.
That's some high-quality H2O.
Except not from the fountains, because you can't get it. although somebody did say that they went, instead of at halftime or the end of a quarter or something, they went like middle of a quarter.
There's nobody in the concession area.
They missed two plays.
Yep.
Like two or three plays. Why wouldn't
you know when I go to grab that? You know when I go to grab food? Right after a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know when I grab a beer? Right after a field goal.
Not halftime.
Takes 3 minutes. You know what? Actually, if I'm going to grab a beer, I'll go at halftime now because there's enough beer vendors. It's not bad. But am I going to a water fountain when there's four of them?
Not at halftime.
Probably not.
Water. We talk about water. I think Dalton from Rouge Radio needs to come out here. I mean, he's already the official water boy, the hottie ball. So he should probably come out here and fill some cups up for us. So adults, if you want, there's a job there for you.
I saw somebody mention on Twitter just not too long ago that they should, this week, they should make Glenn start, and then Brandon Bridge can huck water bottles into the stands and we can make everybody happy.
Well, it should be interesting to see where that goes. Even though it's not going to go anywhere, you know things are going to happen. So it'll be fun to see what complaints come out of this upcoming game, because it's supposed to be like 28 degrees again. So we'll see what happens. All right, let's move on here. Let's get to engaging with the enemy. So behind the scenes, we tried to get Ricky Foley on the show just because he signed with BC this past week and really wanted him on the show.
Traitor.
Yeah, after the Riders flew him out, which he lives in Langley, BC, so it's not like he had to go very far, hosted the Riderville party in Vancouver on Saturday before the game.
That was planned months ago.
Yeah, and then BC signed him on Sunday, so everybody's like, oh great, the Riders paid for his way out there, and Buono just picks him up. Thanks a lot, Riders. And everyone's throwing shade on the Riders. I thought that was one of the comments I saw. I was like, really, are you kidding me? But anyway, the timing didn't work out. We'll hopefully talk to Ricky Foley at another time. But we're going to take you back to CFL week. We got to talk to some of the megastars on the BC Lions. So first up, let's hear from Solomon Elamimian.
What are you like outside of football? What do people not know about you?
Solomon Elamimian is a gamer who needs to be strained from video games because it takes up too much of his non-football life.
And okay, going off that, Xbox or PlayStation?
For sure, PS4. Got to go PS4. You got to go with Modern Warfare. And you got to have Madden there, right? You got to have some Madden there. Now we're looking for the CFL to come up with a video game. That's what we need. So whoever I need to talk to, y'all need to put me in front of them. We need the CFL to come up with a game.
You're going to be the poster boy. And what's your Madden rating? What's Solomon Elamimian rated at?
You know what? Because I'm humble, I won't say 100, I'll say 99. I'll say 99 just because of things I've done and my acumen.
So if you weren't a football player, what would you do with your life?
If I was a football player, I'd probably be a teacher. You know, I love working with kids. I actually work with special needs kids. That was a lot of fun. So it'd be someone with kids. I wouldn't be coaching. That's not something I would do as a football coach. Maybe later, but definitely work with kids on a teaching level probably.
Now, in your career in the CFL, is there one particular fan interaction that kind of stands out amongst all of them?
It's funny you said that. Yeah, it's funny you said that. You know, the Regina fans are always funny because, you know, they find different ways of butchering your name. You know, obviously my name is Elamimian, which I think is easy to say, but a lot of people don't, right? So I remember one fan was like, hey, Yellow Eminem, you suck. And I just kind of, it took everything in me not to start laughing because that was actually clever, like Elamimian, Yellow Eminem. And it's like, where do they come up with this stuff, right? So that, I would say that was one that always had me laughing.
What are you watching on Netflix right now?
Oh, man, House of Cards. You know, got House of Cards, get some Vikings in there. But House of Cards is my show. I just love the whole plot, the whole twist, and Kevin Spacey, you know, his monologues. You know, it's just clever, right? So that's my favorite show.
And final one for you here. Everybody has road trip stories. Now, we're not asking you to throw anybody under the bus, but what's the best road trip story you have in your time in the CFL?
Oh, man. Half the stuff I can't even say right now. Let me try to get some. Yeah, man, what is a road trip story? Okay, so, boom, it's a little different, right? So we were in the locker room 2011, and we were like 0-5 that year. And I remember it was kind of funny because, not funny in an aspect, but I remember Wally adjusting the team. And, you know, he's just livid. He's mad. And you know what? He always asks these questions that nobody knows the answer to, but everybody thinks that they'll be able to get the answer to it, right? So he asks a guy. He stomps on the table. He says, guys, have we hit rock bottom, right? So obviously guys like, no, we haven't hit rock bottom. Like we're still, he's like, yes, we have hit rock bottom because if we rock bottom, the only way to go is up. And that was like pretty much that, you know, galvanizing moment where everybody, you know, kind of came together. His speech was fired, but it's funny because, you know, a lot of people just be like, no, we haven't, we're not rock bottom. But in his mind, yes, we are rock bottom because if you think that it's as bad as it can get, onward, only pushing goes up. So I think that's probably one of the stories that I kind of remember from my time, you know, in the CFL. Great speech by Wally. So
up next, new receiver, Chris Williams.
Road trips. You got to have some stories from road trips. Now, we're not asking you to throw anybody under the bus here. You don't have to name names if you don't want to, but what's the best road trip story you've had in the CFL?
Oh, man, there's been a few. Just enjoying time. I can remember one time. As a group of us just kind of hanging out, we played a game. And we're just standing there talking, and a couple of drunk girls came over there and were trying to hit on a couple of the guys. And they were kind of like shooing them aside and not really interested. And so the one starts talking to me, just starts talking crazy, talking about a big storm. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, like, you know, they play football. It's like, looks at me, you don't play football. I'm like, no, for real. Like, we all do. Like, this is what we do. Like, we're just here, we play the game, we're eating and stuff. It's like, just being nice. And she's just dogging me, like, no, you're too smart. And then highlight comes up. I had a pretty good game. She's all watching. Like, she just looks at me and turns away and walks away. So we're just, you know, that was pretty funny. We just started laughing about that. But that was the best one I got that I can tell you, anyways.
So if you weren't a football player, what would you do with your life?
It's a good question. Biology major with a little bit of tax background, so not sure. I think maybe environmental scientist or something like that.
What keeps you busy when you're not preparing for the season or playing games?
Oh, my children, for sure. I got three of them, and they keep me busy all the time. We're out doing a bunch of things, so. Yeah.
You got to have one that's a favorite, right? Because every parent has a favorite kid. They won't say it, but you got to have one, right?
I like them all. I do. I really do. I like them all.
Most important question of the day you'll be asked. Do you like cats or dogs better?
I have a dog, but I can't sit here and say that I'm like a huge pet person. Like, they're cool when they're outside, but I'm not. I don't like them in my house, to be honest.
In the CFL, what's the best fan interaction story that you can remember in your time?
Best fan interaction story? You know, there's there's a lot of love here in the CFL for us players, and especially when we do stuff like this. You can come in and they can kind of, you know, see their favorites or see guys from different teams that they usually don't get to see. And, you know, when they're sitting there waiting and they got their stuff to sign and, you know, you go up and you sign in, you can see that they're all excited and the kids do that, man. That's the coolest stuff.
So. Now you're moving from the East to the West Coast here. What's your favorite part about going to BC besides football?
It's closer to home, that for one. And I don't like East Coast time. I don't like it.
We don't either.
I like Pacific and Mountain Time. Those are my areas. So,
and finally, kick returner Chris Rainey.
What is your best road trip moment? Now, you don't have. We're not asking you to name any names and throw anybody under the bus. But I know a lot of fun stuff's got to happen on road trips. What's your best road trip story?
Road trip story. I don't think I had no best road trip story because I'm like a loner type. Like, cause I still get picked on because I be having my DVD player I bring with me all the time in my book bag, so, and a couple movies with it. So I'm like a loner type, so I don't got no best road trip. And plus, I don't travel like that. I want to travel the world, but I don't travel like that yet.
Now, just based off that, do you take movies with you? What kind of movies are you? Are you a rom-com guy? Are you action?
All the way actions or
best movie ever?
I'm a Godzilla fan, King Kong fan, I'm a Planet of the Apes fan, the Marvel fan. That's basically it, yeah.
So if you didn't play football, what would you do with your life?
I'll be acting. That's what I want to do when I'm done with football. So I wanted to be a coach first until I heard all the stories, and my brother was a coach for 2 years, and he told me everything and changed my mind, so I go with acting.
You know, on that same wavelength, what do you do when you're not playing or like working out, playing football or preparing for the season, that kind of thing? What keeps you busy?
Basketball or sleeping, watching movies all the time, or shooting pool.
Most important question, dogs or cats?
Oh, dogs all the way.
So, I think
nothing wrong with cats. Ain't nothing wrong with cats because I had two cats in my life after I had my dog first for 15 years. So, let me see. Dogs are good friends and they protect you. Cats, friendly and can be mean sometimes, and they just do their own thing.
And so, best smack talker on the BC Lions, not including you, who's the best?
Oh, Manny all day. That's all he do, 24/7, nonstop.
So that's Engaging with the Enemy this week, where we heard from Solomon Elamimian, Chris Williams, and Chris Rainey from the BC Lions. We'll have the Edmonton Eskimos coming up, so if there's anyone specific on the Eskimos you want us to talk to, let us know. We'll see if we can make that work with the Eskimos and the time. We'll see if that works.
Yeah, dog.
That's what I'm hoping for. Now, finally, we do have our Piffles Pick'em to get to. Edmonton at Ottawa, Toronto at Montreal, Winnipeg at Hamilton, BC at Saskatchewan. Anybody want to start? Or
you go for it. You're all right. First.
I'm going with Ottawa, Montreal, Hamilton, and BC.
I'm going to go Edmonton. I had Ottawa written down, but the moment you took them, I decided no. And that means Ottawa is going to win, so you're welcome, Red Blacks fans. Edmonton, Montreal, Hamilton, and Saskatchewan, because I'm a homer. I have not yet gotten to that completely lost faith stage.
I'm going Edmonton because I think they're getting a few healthy bodies back. And Ottawa just stinks. I'm going Montreal because I don't think Ricky Ray is going to play. I'm going Winnipeg because they keep finding ways to win and Hamilton keeps finding ways to lose. And Saskatchewan because Saskatchewan.
They have to.
They have to.
You know, I have to say, looking at this, and it's just popped into my head now, our entire outlook of this season changes if the Riders win on Sunday and Winnipeg loses on Saturday. Everything just feels better.
Well, and every time that we've been gifted a Western team losing, or, you know, things have looked good, like Montreal beating Winnipeg up by 12 points with a minute left, and hey, that's great, and then we ended up winning that week too, and no, that didn't happen. So
that one was my fault.
Yeah, way to go, Steve.
Yeah.
So if we miss the playoffs by a point or two, all blame Steve.
It's Carpini's fault. That's my fault.
Yeah.
Do you have Amy's picks?
I have no idea.
So we just pick for her.
Yeah.
She gets Saskatchewan.
I already picked a hottie ball for her. I don't think I'm allowed to pick anything else for her, knowing how I pick things for her.
That's fair.
So Alex picks the Rack Attack Flag football team, the Rams.
Jay Cutler.
I love Jay Cutler.
I don't need to be in shape.
That's why I'm quarterback of our flag football team, boys. The best was the meme that showed up when his little pause when he did that. There was a hand came up right in front of his mouth, a cigarette, and he blew smoke out when he started talking. It was just brilliant. Like, it was timed perfectly. Sorry to any Dolphins fans out there. You have Jay Cutler as your quarterback. But anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up on next week's show, we're going to recap this game against BC. The Riders are on a bye, so we're not going to have a game preview. We'll talk some other CFL headlines. I'm sure one of us will come up with a rant next week as well. Amy will be back. We'll have a Hottie Bowl entrant. We'll have our Coney Island Piffles player profile, and we'll just talk some more CFL. It'll be great. Until then, make sure you give us a follow on Twitter. Follow us at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
Follow me at Safamod.
Myself at Fernie635.
Give Amy a follow at CFL Hottie Bowl. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Or on Instagram, just search PifflesPod. And check out PifflesPodcast.com. And again, don't forget to sign up for the first annual Piffles Bowl in support of Hope's Home. So come out, play football with us. You don't have to be good. Trust me, you're playing with us. We're not very good. And we're just out there to have a good time, raise some money. So bring some cash and we'll get you a shirt. We're going to do raffle prizes, draw prizes and everything. So it'll be a great time. Want more information on that? Just talk to one of us on Twitter. Send us a message. Anything like that, go to piffelspodcast.com. Email us, pifflesbowl@gmail.com. And as always, the show brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out brynwerrett.com. That's BRINWERRETT.com. Thanks for listening.
We're a drinking town with a football problem.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.